So, anybody remember what we talked about last week? And the week before?
Gosh, Peter? Or is that Sunday?
No, we're done with Peter.
Really?
Peter, yes.
I just can't remember.
He talked about
Peter
being your story about the driveway?
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay. spreading stuff out. So, yeah. Process. Okay. And you couldn't do it by yourself, and someone helped you. And then you gave them food. That's what I remember. But what do you have in relation with the Bible?
So it was God's hand.
Oh, your purpose. Was that something purpose?
Yes, that's part of it.
Yeah.
What did we talk about? What did Levi talk about 2 weeks ago?
He
talked about.
Oh, yes. Well, I wasn't there, but I remember hearing about this.
Oh.
How he had to do a lot of work at his house.
Oh, yeah, and
or
something.
Yeah, and he put the food out for the cats, and he's like, if you want this, it's here.
Okay, what does that mean?
It means God, like, offers himself, and he's like, if you want me, I'm here,
I'm not going to.
We let him.
Like, he won't.
It's kind of like the opposite of, like, how the cats.
It's like everyone has an opportunity.
Well, the cats chose to go in. They were offered.
Everyone has an opportunity.
Okay, right. So, look at my chart here.
What does that say?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Demo.
Okay.
Dead.
What?
Dead?
Oh.
Okay.
It looks like a dead.
So can you fill in the rest of it?
Alive is right there.
Okay.
And then heaven.
But we've been using a different word to try to...
Creature. Fill. Creation.
Okay.
Oh, yeah! Because he makes a new creature.
You are a
creation.
Okay. And what's this arrow here?
It's
showing the process.
The process of accepting Christ.
I wouldn't say, okay, better. This would be. It can be a process, but it usually has a definitive moment at some point in your life.
It's the acceptance of Christ.
Okay.
Salvation.
Right? You're choosing to accept his sacrifice for you, right? Alright, so then you become a new creature. And then, what did we talk about after you're a new creature?
The only thing different...
Because, what's the deal with the house? With the old house?
Wasn't it things that...
What didn't Levi want to do with the house?
Kill it.
Oh, like, take it all down and then start again.
Right.
Because then...
Because why?
The house wouldn't be there. It's not the same.
It wouldn't what, Savannah?
History.
Right.
You feel the past and how much the other people put their souls into it.
Right. It wouldn't be the same house.
Yeah.
Right?
It
would be a different house that would have nothing to do with the old one, right?
Yeah.
So, do you want God to just say, I'm going to just get rid of everything that you are and make a new person in your place?
No.
No. I mean, you wouldn't be you anymore.
It just adds things on.
Okay. No, not adds thing on.
Fixes.
Fixes.
Keeps
if it's bad enough, replaces things.
But he does add things.
Yes, he does add things. Okay, so then what... So, that's good because that's happening. When will that be completed?
When you go to
heaven. When you die or...
Can it be completed on this earth, though?
On a what?
On this earth.
No. Because then you would be perfect, Jason.
Can we be perfect?
No.
On this earth?
We can't.
Maybe, but
how?
I don't think
yeah.
so.
If you live alone and say isolate yourself, you wouldn't be perfect.
That's
you
not
would
true.
You would not be perfect for that very reason.
Because
what are you called to do, Camry? What's the Great Commission? We're getting off track here,
spreading
but what's
God's
the Great
word.
Commission? Spreading God's word. How do you spread God's word if you live by yourself? Okay. But is that would that be to you the fullest extent of your capabilities? Probably not, unless you are crippled or house arrest or something like that. Which
people still go outside.
Which is what Paul did, right? He didn't use a radio, but what did he use?
He wrote letters,
okay? Because that was all that he could do at that point. Okay, so after we went on that tangent. So, right, you won't be a totally new creature until you get to
heaven.
To heaven.
Because you're like a... You're
okay, life. But what's this in-between part here?
Your life, your earthly life.
What are you doing?
You're
that's what we talked about last week.
Trying to be like
week.
Jesus.
Okay.
Yielding.
And what was the picture that Jesus used to talk about this? Shepherd is good, but that usually applies to specific jobs, a specific purpose that not everybody has, which would be a pastor, like pastoral jobs, a pasture. Okay, that's kind of where that word comes from, refers to caring for the flock. Okay, so, but what else? What picture did he use? We talked about it. The main verse that we looked at. Jesus told you to do something.
Guard your heart.
What?
Was it guard your heart?
No.
Is it like one of the things that he's like comparing the people that follow him to like a thing? Or is it not that?
Think about yourself. What are you supposed to do? It's a daily thing.
You.
Because remember we talked about the law, right?
Oh.
The Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah.
Follow it.
Right. But was that enough, Jason?
No.
Why?
Because of your motives.
Okay, motives are a part, right? Where do the motives usually come from? Where do your motives come from?
Usually from myself, but I should know. Again.
What part of yourself?
Mind.
Okay, but what's a word that, like...
Soul.
Okay, a different word.
Desire. Drive.
Your heart.
Your heart. Okay, so what is your heart supposed to do?
Maybe.
No, there's less...
Feel. Uh-huh.
Okay. When we talk about the heart, we're not talking about, like... ooey gooey love heart. We're talking about deep down inside of you, like at the core of you, what you believe or what your focus is. So, what are you supposed to do? If you believe in Jesus, if you love him, what are you supposed to do?
Follow him.
Okay, follow him.
Keep his commandments.
But what was the most important thing? Because you can do all the commandments and not do what?
Oh.
Like actually believe, right?
Like you could,
cross.
Right?
Take up
your
cross.
Take up your cross.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
No, I remember that.
Oh, that's a weird why.
It's a double why.
Okay, take up your cross. Okay, that's this whole section here. Because now you're a new creature, all right? He's working on you, and you're going to be part of that process. But in your gratitude towards him, out of your love for him for doing something that you couldn't do, now you're to follow him. And he says, take up your cross. So what is your cross?
The things, remember when you were talking about how there's things that Jesus had to go through,
mm-hmm.
and there's like certain things that we don't need, but there's still things that we do have to go through, like,
yes.
Like suffering, like a burden, stuff like that.
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Yes, it is. So suffering is a part of that. But what was the cross to Jesus ultimately?
Burden. No.
Why did he do it?
To save us.
And that reason is what? Starts with a P. It's defined as, huh?
Purification?
No.
Was that one of the things?
No, I don't think so.
Wait, where are you saying? Purification.
No. What he did, okay. Why he did it, it is a, he had a, when he came to earth.
Plan.
Promise.
A plan. That this purpose. Gives value, purpose, okay?
Oh, I see that.
All right, so your cross has a lot to do with your purpose. He has a purpose for everybody. And you are, by taking up your cross every day, whatever that purpose is, you're acting that out and doing it. And you have to find out what that purpose is, all right? It's personal. Okay, sorry that took so long.
It's got a kid.
Okay, so.
No, can you?
I'm grabbing my Bible. I think I left
it.
Bible.
So sometimes this process of going through things, this your purpose, the daily stuff where you keep going along and doing it. Can start to get mundane sometimes. You know what mundane is?
Like you don't like it anymore. It's boring.
Kind of boring. Just the same thing over and over. So, have you ever heard the saying, when the going gets tough?
The tough gets going.
The tough get going, okay. So, well, that can be very true sometimes in your Christian walk. And what is that saying mean? What's it telling you that you have to do?
Gotta keep going.
Yeah, you have to push.
How? Push through. All right. How do you push through?
Well, God helps you.
Willpower.
Right.
Willpower is a big part of that, right? God will help you, but you have to be willing.
You have to watch it.
Right. You have to just say, "I'm just gonna do this, even though I don't feel like doing it." Okay. So, and. I do not mean any of these things that is put before you by the tough get going, that some of these things that God will have you do might not be inherently hard to do. Like in their nature, they might not be hard to do. But, and that might even be stuff that you like doing. But sometimes things that you like doing when you have to keep doing them can get boring, or you just don't want to do it. Some days you just don't want to do it. Because why? Why do you not want to do things sometimes?
Bored.
Like, Jason, did you like cross country and track when you did it?
No.
Never?
Sometimes.
Did you like it at first?
Yes.
Yes, maybe. Abby. Band. Do you like band?
Yeah.
Okay. Are there times where you just want to be done with band?
Yes.
Right. So why do you sometimes just want to be done with it?
You just get tired of it. You do the same thing like all the time.
What is it that's making you have that tiredness?
Just,
what do you call that? How about maybe your feelings or your emotion is saying, I just don't feel like doing this anymore, right? It doesn't really have anything to do with whether you should do it or you shouldn't. You just don't feel like doing it anymore. So I want to look at something that can sometime muddy the waters for what you should do or how you your outlook on something should be. And sometimes that is... A lot of times, actually. It's your feelings or your emotions about something. Okay? And we're going to look at 1 John chapter 3.
It's in the back of the Bible, be right before Revelations. Revelation. And we're going to look at 1 John chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 1 through 3 to start. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Camry, can you start?
Behold, the manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, we are God's children now, but what we have not learned to you is revealed. When he is revealed, what we will do now is those things he is revealed. Wait, what?
Are you in chapter 3, verse 2 of 1 John?
Yeah, okay. Okay, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is.
Okay. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure.
Okay, so these verses, actually this chapter really fits in what we've talked about the last 2 weeks and today. It really kind of talks about all those things together. And this first thing, he says that he's talking about what? What do you think? That's on the board here.
Dead.
Says you become something.
Oh, a new creature.
Says you become sons, all right? Sons and daughters of Christ, okay? So that's the same as a new creature, okay? And he's going to go on to explain why he uses that language there. And he's talking about that one day you're going to be what? The verse Alma read that's a little bit more confusing, maybe, in its language.
Let's see. We're going to be like him.
But when?
When he comes back.
Yes. So it's saying that in the future, you're going to be the completed new creature here. So that ties back over to here. And at this point, at the cross,
once you accept him and you bring God's Spirit into your new creature, all right, you get God's Spirit.
Something happens where it's like you are being lit on fire. Anybody ever been to a bonfire before?
I thought my legs burned off. I mean,
okay, well, this isn't physically, but this is a metaphor, you know, likening it to a bonfire. But sometimes when you light that really dry bonfire on fire, it starts out as just that little flame, and then all of a sudden it's like, when it's making that big, like, roaring of the fire that it's, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, this is so hot, I have to step back. I can't stand this close to it. Huh?
Especially when you pour gas on it.
Yes, especially when you pour gas on it. So that's what it hopefully is like for you when you become a Christian, that it's like you have a burning inside of you. And you're just like ready to say, yeah, I'm going to grab this cross every day and I am going to carry it. Okay? But those emotions that you have that are burning strong and that propel you into following Jesus and doing what he calls you to do are good. All right? That's good to have those. It's good evidence of now following Christ, of bringing him into your life. Okay? But, and this I don't know if there's anybody that this hasn't happened for to a certain degree, but then you begin, those feelings begin to wane. They begin to dwindle down. And you don't feel as, you don't feel the burning emotions of it anymore. And you know it's true. You know that it's real, but you aren't getting that emotional rush anymore of it. And then that mundaneness, the everydayness, kind of starts to set in again. Has anybody ever experienced that kind of thing before? Doesn't even have to be with Christianity, because I can even remember when I was a kid, my cousins used to come to visit for like a week at a time, and it would be the best, and we would do all sorts of things together, and then they'd go home, and you'd be like, this is boring.
Me too.
Just me.
Or sometimes.
No one to play with around.
Or
okay, right?
For like a couple of days, and then like the third day, you're like, okay, I'm done.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't like that with my, but I know those types of people, yes. Okay, but we're not talking about that type, all right? So like that with Christianity sometimes, then you start to think that you think, am I not really what I thought I was? Was it real? You think. You pray and you don't get those feelings welling up inside of you like you want to. All right? You're doing that kind thing for someone and you don't feel the warmth always when you do it afterwards. For whatever reason, okay? And you wonder, am I missing something? You think, am I doing something wrong? Where is God's Spirit? Why don't I feel it right now? Is there something wrong with me, you might think. And sometimes maybe you have experienced it maybe when you sing a hymn that it does not feel like it does sometimes. Maybe you don't feel his presence close to you. Or you listen to a sermon and it's not speaking to you, like direct, doesn't feel like it's speaking directly to you. And you think that you want it, you want to feel that, but it isn't there. Well, let's start with, does that mean that he is not there? That God's Spirit isn't there? Is that what that means? Okay, why?
Because he doesn't change.
Okay, that's a good reason, Jason. Jesus never changes, right? Same yesterday, today, and forever. All right.
He's there even if you don't want him to be there.
Okay, so this is true. So let's look to the Bible to make sure we're not just saying something that someone told us, right? We're not just regurgitating something that someone said, but we're actually drawing it from the Bible, right? Because can you tell me a verse where it says that, Abby? Okay. We're going to look at a couple verses so then we know, okay? So keep your finger on 1 John, but Camry, can you go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 9? Audrey, Deuteronomy 31:6.
Joshua
36:9.
No, 1:9.
Jason, Matthew 28:20. And Savannah, can you go to Romans 8:38-39? I can read all those again.
Can I have the numbers?
Yes, so Joshua 1:9, Deuteronomy 3:6, Matthew 28:20, and Romans 38:39. All right, Camry, you go ahead and start.
Have God commanded thee, be strong and of a good, and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest.
Okay, so God is with you no matter where you go. You can't get away from him. Okay, Audrey.
Can we utterly destroy them as we did unto Sion, King of Heshbon, utterly destroying the men, women, and children of every city.
Is that 30, chapter 31, verse 6?
No,
Sorry.
Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee.
Okay, so he's going to be with you always, but in more than that, he's not going to fail you when he's there, and he's not going to leave you. All right, Jason.
Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Okay, that's Jesus speaking directly in the flesh, all right, telling them that he will be with them all the way, even to the end of the world. All right, go ahead, Savannah. Romans 8. You got Romans?
Yeah.
Okay, chapter 8, and then verses 38 through 39.
I am persecuted, and neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principles, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus our Lord.
Okay, so Paul is explaining that nothing can separate you. No vast distance, no mountains, no death, no other principalities, that's powers, rulers, can ever separate you from Christ. They're incapable of it. All right, so it's explained all through the Bible. Those are just a few verses, but really the whole Bible is about how God desires to be with us, and he's going wants to be with us. So it's more than just that he will be with us, but that is what he wants to be doing. Okay. So back to 1 John. Let's now, because we settled that, all right? We know that no matter how we feel, God doesn't abandon us, all right? No matter how much our emotions are telling us that God's promises aren't true, it doesn't change the fact of the matter, okay? So let's look at verses 4 through 10, wherever we left off. I think Abby and or Jason. Verse 4 through 10, we'll read.
Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law.
Jesus answered, I already commanded you, I sin not to be except a man be born of water and of the Spirit.
First John.
This is not John I have.
First John.
That's right at before Revelations. It's very small. It's easy to miss in the back. Verse 5, sorry.
Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God.
In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother.
Okay, so you might be thinking a little bit, what? I didn't hear him talk anything about feelings or emotion here. But he's going to get there, all right?
John is laying the groundwork here, okay? So what did he talk about? What's the subject matter?
Sin.
Okay, sin is one part, and what do we have on the opposite side of that? What's the opposite of sin?
God.
Righteousness. Okay, so essentially right and wrong, okay? Alright, so, and he says, if you commit sin, What are you?
Child.
Okay. You belong to the devil. All right? If you do righteousness, you do right things, who do you belong to?
God. Jesus. Born of God.
Yes. It says you're born of God. Okay? So, this line here, we're going to put you on this side over here. Okay? That's all of us right there. Just imagine your face right there. All right? This line right here is impenetrable. You cannot cross that line. You can't. You just can't get across there. You stop right there.
You can't do it, Abby. Jason, you can't do it either.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Wait a minute.
Right?
How?
So, but it says you are born, if you are do righteousness, you are born of who?
God.
Of God, or Jesus.
But
right.
But you can still.
So what happened over here? Abby.
You became a new creature.
Right, you were born. Born again. Ah.
Yes, but.
So if you're on this side, you're born again. You're a new creature. So how did that happen? How did you get across here?
Because you asked God for forgiveness. Because Jesus broke down the curve.
Because he's that bridge. He is the one who. Right, broke down the wall, and through him, he's now the door. All right, we can put a little door here. Right, look, it's like a door that you're looking down, swings inside. Got a little doorknob here now. That you can go through him. He said that I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, amen. All you have to do is knock and ask to enter in. All right, so now you can come over to this side. And but John is going to now, so he's bridging an aspect, he's bringing in another aspect of this whole new creature thing. And what he's going to bring is that people live, we live in a world with people around us, okay? That we live in a physical world. All this stuff here is all spiritual, right? All this stuff deals with the spiritual world. Okay? So let's read now verses 11 through 17. He's going to start to talk about the practical, everyday world that can become mundane to you, okay? Verse 11, if you could read that, Savannah.
Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him.
Hereby receive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren.
Okay, good. So, John lays something out here that in this chapter that we're new creatures, born, and we are creatures of love now, that being born out of Christ. That's what you are called to do. And because what were the two, all the commandments were summed up in two things. What are those two commandments?
Love the Lord thy God and
treat thy neighbor as
thyself. More than treat, right? What's the word?
Oh, love thy neighbor.
Love thy neighbor as thyself. Okay, that's an important part there. So the old creature is still born of sin and belonging to the devil. Now, the way to know that you are a new creature is because you love your brother. That's what it says, that if you are a new creature, if you are born of righteousness, then you will love your brother. If you don't, you're born of sin. Okay? Now, let's say that we have Bill, and Bill is somebody that you know. Okay? And what happens when Bill does something that just really gets on your nerves? You don't like Bill when Bill does that. And it just makes you feel like you could, like, take care of Bill. Okay? Did you just lose your love when you felt that way about Bill?
Yes.
If you lost your love, then you must be a son of the devil.
Yes. Yes. You are
an old creature. Tell me why you're not an old creature. Now, I didn't say what you did when you felt that way.
Well, it's not just your actions, it's your motives and your heart.
Okay, your heart does matter, right? It does. But are you able to control all of your feelings, Jason?
No.
Can anybody? I know, I can't.
What?
Definitely not yet.
I thought you said I can't. I was like,
No. So, why are you not then an old creature?
Because of the battle against you.
Verse 9.
Audrey?
Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, he cannot sin, but because he is born of God. So, like, you can sin, but the seed is still in you, so, like...
He's saying, though, that the new seed is in you.
Yeah, the new seed is in you.
Okay. So how does that work? Explain to me the mechanics of that. Why your sin, then, if you do commit a sin, why doesn't that make you an old creature? Because he said lots of times there, if you sin, you're a son of the devil. What did Jesus do?
He died for our sins.
Okay, what sins?
All.
Like the ones before, all the ones that people committed before he died?
All
the ones that will ever be committed too, right? It's like it spans time. Time does not matter. Jesus isn't bound by time. If he does something, it's not bound by time. He died for all of them. Every sin that will ever be committed. Right? So it's perpetually forgiving the sins that you commit. So that's how you can still be a new creature. All right? How you are continually a new creature, because he already died for those sins. Okay? But here's another key to why you are not. Here's another thing. What is love? Huh? Action and choice, Jason says. I mean, don't feel inadequate, because everybody tries to describe love all the time. That's what 90% of the songs in the world are written about. Like, almost every piece of poetry is written about love. There's thousands of books out there written about love, all trying to describe or trying to convey it to you, what it is. Okay? So, is love an emotion?
No.
Or is it choice and action, like Jason said?
Yes. I guess it's both, because, like, you can, like, you do things for someone, you love them, I guess, but you also feel it.
Okay. So, following Jesus has nothing to do with your emotions at any one moment. Did God say you have to feel the deepest love for me to follow me? No. Okay. But he did say that if you love me, then you'll follow me. If you love me, you'll feed my sheep. So, which is it? Is it an emotion or is it an action?
It's an action.
Or a choice? That may be dangerous, Audrey. An emotion that drives your actions.
Yeah, it's like that's literally how you act upon everything.
Should it be, though?
No.
Should it be?
Okay. Okay, so hold on. So love is a choice. It's a decision that you make in your mind, in your heart. And you will yourself, the power of your will is involved in it, to choose to put others before you. Because what is not in love? Something that we all have, which, what else would you call it? Yes. It's not in there. Corinthians 13 talks about that. 1 Corinthians 13. Talk about love is patient, love is kind. Yes. Love does not boast. Boasting is about your pride, okay? So, and what is pride about?
Pride is about, like, thinking that you deserve a lot more than you actually.
What does pride satisfy?
Not
the human.
The human?
Yeah, the flesh.
I would add. So the human. Blank.
The human brain, heart, body, soul,
flesh,
mind,
flesh.
Flesh is a good word.
Because, like,
what does the Bible mean when you're following your flesh?
It's like you're going with your human, you send your nature.
Emotion.
What'd you say, Jason?
Emotion.
That's human emotion.
Because there's a song that says, like, the arm of flesh has failed you, you must not trust your own, blah, blah, blah. It's like, you know, you don't know.
Pride is all about satisfying how you feel. As long as you feel like you're on top of things, or it satisfies how you feel at the moment. That's what it's about. So that's why love cannot be based on your emotion at the moment. Now, I'm not saying that you won't have feelings, that those emotions don't come when you feel love for somebody. Okay? When you feel love for even a thing. Okay? When you feel love for your friends around you, your family around you, you will feel those emotions. But there'll be times where you have to exercise love and you will not feel any strong emotions. You will probably feel the opposite strong emotions of being really just disgusted with some people, but you still have to take the action of loving them. Okay? Let's look at verse 18 through 21, where John is going to bring this together. I think, Camry, I think we left off with you.
Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God.
Okay. So, first thing that he says is love is not based off of some fleeting words or the fluttering of our heart or a wave of emotion that comes over us, all right? He says it's not, in verse 18 there, he says it's not in the words that you say or in somebody's amazing ability to use their tongue and explain to you how much they love you. He said, instead, it is based in your actions, that it's based in, it's about what we do and how we treat others and God. And that's what makes it a choice. Because really, if love was based on emotions, it would be terrible. It would be terrible. How would you like it if your parents only loved you when they felt like it? It'd be pretty terrible. I mean,
I'd be like, oh, my mom's really, yeah, not today. Sorry.
Right. Or even for me, if my wife only loved me when she felt like it, how terrible would that be? I just might not get dinner some nights. Like, that would be, it'd just be no good. That's why it's a million times better, because I don't like McDonald's that much. It's a million times better for it to be about choice. Because despite what your emotions are at the moment, you can still choose to love someone. Because you know that you should. You know that it's better. That it's a better way to love someone in that way. Because there are, no matter what relationship you are in, there will be times where your emotions do not just exude love in your mind, in your heart. All right, and that's where you have to make the choice that you are still going to take the actions that speak love. If someone said to you, I love you all the time. Well, let's say even just a couple times a day, Camry. They just said, let you know that they love you. Yeah. Someone that you want to love you.
Like a friend?
Whoever, all right?
A boyfriend?
Whatever. It could be a parent. It could be your cousin. It could be your sibling.
Oh, my dog.
Your, okay, your dog, whatever. But if somebody said, I love you all the time, and then they never spent any time with you, they treated you poorly, they snapped at you, it'd be totally empty, their words. It would mean nothing if that's how they acted towards you. You'd say, well, that's the opposite of what you said to me. Doesn't have very much meaning to it. So your spirit with God's is a two-way street. So remember how we talked about sometimes you don't feel the emotion or you feel like God's spirit isn't there? It is possible to grieve the Holy Spirit. You can sear your heart to God. To not be able, you know what it is to sear something? Like a steak? or your finger when you burn it, and then you can't feel anything on it for a while. It'll hurt for a while, but then you lose the sensation in it because it's been seared. Well, it's possible to do that with your heart, okay? And that's why it's important for you that your actions, even if you're not feeling that emotion, that you keep your actions towards God pure. You keep them right. You keep doing things because you love Him. Do the things that He asks you to do. And that helps keep that open. Because it's the same thing. If you just say, I love you, God, you sing the songs, you pray and say the words, but you don't mean it, and your actions don't follow it, how are you going to expect to feel Him, to have His presence with you, to be able to talk with Him? It's going to make it pretty hard. Okay? So, one more thing, just because this is a metaphor that speaks to me often, and maybe it'll speak to you. I thought of Narnia. I thought of Aslan. What do they say about Aslan? Say it all the time. He's a lion, remember? What is he not? They always say he's not a tame lion. Okay? And what they mean by that is that you don't control when he enters and he comes into your heart to come and be with your spirit. But when Aslan does return, every time he comes back to Narnia, because he'll be gone for a long time and then come back, think about how people feel when he comes back. The people that were doing the right things, that believed in him, that kept the faith and kept doing what he would have wanted to be done, they always have rewards beyond measure. And when he comes back, it's like, wow, just a flood of emotion is over them. It's so great. The reward of the emotion is great because of how they sought after him and followed him. But for the ones who did not, the ones who lost faith, the ones who did the wrong thing, there's always a time of reckoning. He's always just, he's often gracious, but they still have to go through that when it comes back to make things right and to fix it. But how much better is it when you don't have anything to fix? It's a lot better. All right, thank you very much.